Good morning.
If you're a visitor with us today, man, that's awesome. It's Father's Day. They say this is the least attended Sunday of the year. If you're a visitor, man, thanks for being with us. That's awesome. If you're streaming with us, thanks for making it this far. I guess we've had a little struggle with that this morning, so thanks for sticking around with us. I'm not the usual preacher, if you're one of our visitors. I'm the youth pastor. I'm filling in today, and I'm excited to talk about Father's Day with you and talk about that a little bit. One quick announcement before we get going. This week is Vacation Bible School, so please be praying for that. They've got plenty of help. They need your prayers. The one area that they could use some help, if you want to help, tomorrow evening they're going to be practicing the dismissal thing, and they just need people to drive through and pretend they're picking up kids. So if you're willing to get in line and drive through, maybe be impatient and honk or whatever, you can see Amber about that or just show up at 7:30 tomorrow. But seriously, be praying for Vacation Bible School. I was thinking about talking about how I took advantage of Father's Day to just dress casually. But those of you that know me, this is maybe dressed up. Look at all the buttons I've got today. Yeah. So it is Father's Day, though, and I'm excited to be with you guys. I do need to do one quick disclaimer before we get going. I've spent the last 2 weeks backpacking with teens on the Appalachian Mountains on the Appalachian Trail. So if I burp or do any other kind of bodily function, I've been just doing that whenever I've been out in the woods. Or if I scratch, my legs look like chicken pox. I got ate up like crazy. So if I'm scratching this sting, I got one right there. That's what I'm doing. It's just a backpacking thing. Eventually, I'll become civilized again. So be patient with me. For those of you that have been backpacking with us, especially in the Appalachian Trail in Tennessee, this is a place we've never been before. This is where the cows are. We see the cows from the barn and we dream about cheeseburgers. Well, this time we took a side trail and actually went to where the cows are. And this is a beautiful spot. I mean, you've got view of the mountains all around you and the valley. Man, there's actually two of our teams in this picture. Just to give you an idea how big that pasture is, you can't even see them. John Pyle and Keller Floyd are in that picture up there somewhere. You might see John's white shirt. What a cool spot this was. I totally wanted to build a house and never leave. Actually, there's a house already there that I want, but it's a little out of my price range. They recently dropped the price. It's now $5 million. So I'll just sit on the bench and look at these rocks and the view and What I want to talk about today, I can't guarantee anything for you, but I love a strategy, and if it helps my odds on accomplishing something, I'm always interested in it. Today, what we're going to talk about is really for fathers, but can be applied for any of us, and it's six ways to, not guarantee, but help your kid be successful. And we're going to look at the example of David and Solomon. If you remember, towards the end of David's life, he was preparing Solomon to become king, and David really wanted to build the temple. God said to him, hey, listen, you don't get to build the temple because you're a man of war, and there was just too much bloodshed, but I'm going to let your son build the temple. And these last couple of chapters in 1 Chronicles talk about how David set Solomon up to be successful. Usually we think of Solomon being successful, and we put it all on his wisdom. Right? Solomon was successful because he prayed and God gave him wisdom and he was so wise and that's why he was successful. And that's partly true, but a huge part of Solomon's success went back to his dad setting him up for success. So I want to look at six ways that David set Solomon up for success. And I was going to make a deal with you. You know these dumb things you see on social media that say, if your wife doesn't reply in an hour, you get whatever. I was going to tell you, if this sermon isn't done in a half an hour, your wife owes you a steak. But then as I thought about it, I realized none of you would pay attention anymore. You just watch your phone and tried to decide if you wanted me to stop talking or you wanted me to go longer, so you got the steak. So instead, I'll make this deal with you. All your wives owe you a steak. We'll just do that ahead of time and be kind of good, right? You hear that, Stephanie? You owe me a steak. Yes. Let's look at these six ways that David set Solomon up for success. The first one, as I was reading this, I said, man, David gave Solomon a purpose, and then, man, that's all the way wrong. Truth is, God gave Solomon a purpose. David helped Solomon see God's purpose. You got your Bible, hopefully. You can go to 1 Chronicles with me, chapter 28. And I'm going to pray as you guys are turning there, and then we'll look at these six things. God, thanks so much for your love. Thank you that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And help us as we look forward to being with Him, help us to serve well. Thank you for the example of David and Solomon, and help us apply that to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. David helped Solomon see God's purpose. We're in chapter 28, verses 6 through 10. He said to me, "It is Solomon your son who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues strong in keeping my commandments and my rules as he is today. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Solomon had a purpose that was given to him by God. And unfortunately, most of the time, we think that Solomon's purpose was to build the temple. That's not Solomon's purpose. Solomon's purpose was different from building a temple. It was different from being a king. What we would think today would be maybe a career. Your kid's purpose isn't their career. Your kid's purpose is not to be a doctor or a school teacher or an electrician or a plumber or any of those things. Your kid's purpose is actually the same real purpose as Solomon's. It says right there in verse 9, it says, "And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every plan and thought. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Solomon's purpose was to know God and serve him. It wasn't to build the temple. It wasn't to be king. It was to know God and serve him. Your kid's purpose is to know God and serve him. It's the same as Solomon's. First principle, if you want to help set your kid up for success, make sure they see God's purpose. And that's to know God and serve him. It isn't to be a professional football player. Although that'd be really cool because then I knew your kid and I don't know, that doesn't give me anything, but it would be cool. Number two, David gave Solomon a plan. It's in verses 11 through 19. "Then David gave Solomon his son the plan of the vestibule of the temple, and of its houses, its treasuries, its upper rooms, and its inner chambers, and of the room for the mercy seat, and the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the surrounding chambers." It goes on, and he gives him a plan of how to build the temple. David gave Solomon a plan. Now, here's the problem. God's not going to give you a plan for a temple to give your kid. It's not going to happen that way. If it does, we have some counseling and maybe they can help you. No, that's not how God's going to work today. He's not going to give you the plans for a temple to give to your kid. And the hard thing is, the plan's going to be different for all of us. And the plan, it wasn't Solomon's career, right? The plans for the temple, that wasn't Solomon's career. Solomon's career was to be king. And even that isn't God's plan for him. God's plan for him was to build the temple. It wasn't to his career. God's plan was to build the temple. Your kid's plan isn't to build the temple, but it is to serve God. And he's going to have a unique plan for them. That, again, isn't their career. It's the way God wants to use them. Your kid, here's the part for you. Your kid should accomplish the plan the way Solomon did. If we look at verse 20, it tells us how David told Solomon to accomplish the plan. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God, even my God, is with you. And he will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Here's what you need to do. The principle you need to get for number two to help your kid be successful is help them develop the courage to accomplish God's plan. You need to build up in them a position where they're not afraid to do anything that God wants them to do. Because God will make it successful. It isn't your job to draw up the plans. It isn't your job to do any of that. It's your job to help them see how they can accomplish God's plan. Build them up. Help them to see that there's nothing to fear when they're really serving God. Number three, David provided financially for Solomon to accomplish God's plan. Now, this is one that in our society, man, this is a big one. We're all about providing for our kids financially. We'll buy them clothes and shoes and phones and whatever. And that's not really what we're talking about here. And it's interesting, we're in chapter 29 now, verses 2 through 9. David said, so I provided for the house of my God so far as I was able, the gold for the things of the gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, enemy, colored stones, and all sort of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all this, I provided for the holy house. I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly consecrating himself today to the Lord? David set Solomon up financially to be able to accomplish God's plan. This isn't an inheritance. This isn't providing food and needs for your kid. This is something above all that. This is helping your kid accomplish God's plan financially. So maybe it's a missions trip. Maybe it's them going into missions. Maybe it is even college education. Maybe it's, I don't know. It's different for each person because the God's plan for each person's differently. But you've got to have the attitude, I'm helping not just your kids succeed, you're helping accomplish God's plan. That's how David looked at it. It says in verse 3, he says, moreover, in addition to all this, I've provided for the holy house. I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. David saw his helping Solomon accomplish God's plan as a way to serve God, not a way to make Solomon rich. Not a way to serve his son. He saw it as a way to serve God. And as dads, as parents, we need to look at this as a way to serve God. And it's cool that he opened up his own treasury to do this. Sometimes we have to do that with money that we want for ourselves. So set your kid up for success by providing for your kid to help them accomplish God's plan. Number four, David rallied others around Solomon. This one's huge, and we don't often do this today. I mean, I was thinking about this My daughter just graduated from high school, and we had an open house, and everybody comes and sees their accomplishments and things like that, and that's awesome, but we only do it when they graduate from high school. We should be rallying others around our kids all the time, right? That's what David did here with Solomon. He knew that Solomon would need more help than David could provide. And so what he did is he started gathering others to help him succeed. Your kid, like Solomon, needs more godly influence than just you. You can't be the only adult godly influence in your kid's life and set your kid up for success. They need more than just you. The verse that went with that was verse 21. Sorry, dads, you don't have quite the command that David had. But David was able to come up with the priests, the Levites, every willing man, the officers, the people will be holy at your command. But what David was really doing was finding other men to help Solomon. And we need to do that as fathers. You can't be the only godly adult influence in your kid's life and still be setting them up to succeed spiritually. We try to help with that here at Bible Baptist by providing some things for you. We've got BBC Kids. Some of you have kids back there right now. Sunday schools are available for all age groups. We have junior high and senior high youth groups and also small groups. And all of those are an opportunity for your kid to have more godly adult influence. If you're not taking advantage of those, you're missing out on an opportunity to help set your kid up for success. Because they need more than just you as a godly adult influence in their lives. So, number four, expose your kid to godly influence outside your home. So far, so good. Well, maybe. David also encouraged Solomon in front of others. This one's really a struggle sometimes for me. I love to talk about my kids and talk awesome about them, but I don't always do that in front of them and in front of others. It's really cool how David did that with Solomon. He didn't just encourage, he wasn't just talking about how great a soccer player Solomon was when he was talking with others, or about how good of grades he got, or those are the things that we like to talk about, right? My kid made all conference. Hey, you know, isn't my kid awesome? But instead, when David encouraged Solomon in front of others, what he was doing instead was he was talking about God's faithfulness to accomplish a plan. And your kid, like Solomon, needs to know that you are convinced that they can accomplish God's plan. They need to know you have confidence in them to accomplish God's plan for them. You can do that by talking, encouraging them in front of others, but really talking about God's faithfulness. That's really what made it so Solomon was able to build the temple. It was God's faithfulness and what God was able to accomplish, and he used Solomon to do it. David the king said to all the assembly, "Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God." When you first read this, it doesn't sound very encouraging. David's like, Solomon, he's young and inexperienced. That doesn't sound very convincing, right, or encouraging. And he also talks about how big the job is. This isn't just a temple for people or a palace for people. This is for God. And so at first, when you look at it, it doesn't sound encouraging. But then as a dad, when you read it and you get the whom alone God has chosen, you hear some of that pride, right? My kid was chosen to build God's temple. How cool was it for David to be able to say that? Whom alone God has chosen. Your kid has been chosen by God to do something awesome. You should have pride in that. And encourage them in that. That's one of the ways we can help set our kids up for success. God's going to use the. You need to be telling them that all the time. God's going to use you to do something incredible. I don't know what it is yet, but man, it's going to be awesome when it happens. And I'm going to be so proud of you when it does. You know, that's what we need to be telling them as fathers, building them up for that, setting them up for success. So encourage and build your kid up in front of others. Number six, David prayed for Solomon. You're like, duh, this is a church. We got to pray, read our Bibles, and go to church. But he did. He prayed for him, and it's really interesting what he prayed for. He prayed for Solomon's heart. And then he prayed for Solomon's obedience. And then finally, he prayed that Solomon would be successful. I think we usually get this all the way backwards. We're interested in our kids' success more than we're interested in our kids' heart or obedience. Well, we're really interested in the kids' obedience to us. That's something that drives us crazy. But are you really more interested in your kids' obedience to God or their success in today's culture? So he prayed, he said, grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, they may keep your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, performing all, and that he may build a palace for which I made provision. Starts off with his heart, his obedience, and then he comes to the temple. If your kid can do these things, if your kid can have a heart for God and be focused on obeying him, you're already at the success even before you get to the temple. Pray for those things for your kid. Pray for their heart. Pray for their obedience. And then you'll set them up for success. So number six, pray for your kid's spiritual success. Now, I know what you're saying, and because I'm saying it. I'm not that great a dad. And I'm not. There are lots of places I fail, like every day as a dad. And the truth is, David, he wasn't a perfect father either. I mean, really, if you go back and look at David and his relationship with another one of his sons, Absalom, 2 Samuel 14:28 tells you that they lived in the same city and David didn't see him for 2 years. That's pretty pathetic for a father. In 2 Samuel 15:10, you see Absalom planning to overthrow David. And then the worst probably is 16:21, where Absalom set up a tent and made himself known, we'll use the biblical term, to all of his father's concubines and became a stench in his nostrils, it says. David wasn't a perfect father. That pretty much, I mean, if my kid did those three things, I would say I failed. Shoot, one of those three things would be enough, right? He wasn't a perfect father. And it wasn't, the examples we're looking at, they were late in his life. This is when David's saying, I'm not going to be king anymore. I'm giving the kingdom over to Solomon. So the encouraging thing from me from that is that there's still time. There's still time to be a father. You don't have to say, it's too late for me. I should have started this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. There's still time for you to do these six principles and help set your kids up for success as a father. Don't give up just because you don't think there's enough time. Here's the six things again. If you want to set your kids up for success, help your kids see God's purpose. Help your kids see God's plan. Provide for your kid to help them accomplish God's plan. Expose your kid to godly influence outside of your home. Encourage and build up your kid in front of others. And pray for your kid's spiritual success. Dads, I really want to thank you just for being dads. I'm not trying to beat you up or anything like that when I talk about these six things. What instead I'm trying to do is talk about ways that we can help our kids be successful. I like strategies. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, I got this strategy and it's going to work for you, I'm like, okay, tell me about it. This is one that's going to work for you. This will help you set your kid up for success. I'm excited for you. Being the dad, I'll tell you the truth, when I watch the What's It Like to Be a Father video, man, that one gets me a little bit. I mean, I'm laughing and then I'm like, yeah, this is funny. You know, being a dad's awesome. It's an incredible adventure. Watching your kids grow up is just a ton of fun. And so I'm excited for you. Let's put these six things into place. And man, if you could set your kid up for success, wouldn't you as a dad jump on that opportunity? Let's do that. God will do the rest. Let's do our part and let him figure the rest out. So let's make sure we're doing these six things. I just want to thank you again, dads. Man, just for being here. How crazy is that? There's a ton of you here today, and that's encouraging for me. Thanks for letting me hang out with you a little bit. And we've got a gift for you on your way out. There'll be some teens with a gift as you head out the door. Just thanks so much for what you're doing. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to sing a song. And we'll let you get to your grilling or your nap or your grilling and your nap and then grilling again. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just hope you enjoy today. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for the dads that are here today. I just pray that you'll help them to serve you well, help them to love you, and help them to love their kids. Help them to set their kids up for success. We just thank you for the opportunity to be dads. Thanks so much for the time that we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.